Welcome, everyone. This is Derek White, Sky Cloud. My show is called Between Two Worlds. You're listening to bbsradio.com on the internet, as well as we are on satellite and syndication. We have our phone and call-in lines are 877-876-5227, and the other phone numbers are 530-876-3222. And I also like to welcome the people who come on the Pal Talk, because we also have Pal Talk open. We're listed under the Spiritual Awareness on the BBS Radio Internet, and that's also listed here open for anybody who's welcome to listen in on both sides. Now, I'd like to share with you, if so anyone wishes to come and get a call in for a reading, I'm looking forward to having a chat with anyone across Canada, across the United States. We're also international across the world. And I had an excellent trip last week. I was gone for a week. I went up to Slave Lake, Alberta. It was fabulous. I was gone for that length of time, meeting a lot of wonderful people in the wonderful small town that they live in. And I was chauffeured around town, showing the wonderful country, absolutely beautiful lake. The place that I was staying at was in this beautiful house, two-story home, and they gave me this room all to myself, and where I was staying at, and met a lot of nice people. In fact, the family that took me in was the husband and the wife. The husband used to be the mayor of the town, so that's pretty cool. And the mayor, used to be the mayor of the town that took care of me. And they were fabulous people. I really enjoyed their hospitality, and they want me to come back again. So I'm looking forward to being there, returning back. Apparently, I guess the amount of people that kept me busy doing readings for them. Let you all know, I work as a psychic medium, and I also work as a paranormal investigator. I am also a shaman. I work with spirit in many different ways. My background is Métis, which means some people call ourselves a half-breed. I'm also working with the Métis kids and Aboriginal society, and I teach traditional ways just as much, and also I try to learn my ancestors' background, ancestral songs, so I sing in Ojibwe, some Cree. And I also like to say hi to some friends of mine way up in the northern part of country, in Vavenbee. Some of my best friends, Dale Haggerty and his wife, Dale. Go figure, Dale and Dale. Really, really nice people. So I'm acknowledging them as well. And other friends that I have out there that I've worked with in the field, they're also mediums as well as healers, and are also part of the Aboriginal community. I'd like to acknowledge all of you for being part of your family. Now, there has been a lot of people that are interested in wanting to get readings. These last few weeks, we have had a few troubles with the phone calls for a little bit, because basically we ran into some of the celebrations on the weekend, so we're going to do quite well this week, I'm sure. And so anyways, the lines are open right now, and the phone number is 877-876-5227. Anyone wishes to call in for a question they want to ask, complimentary read, or the phone number also 530-876-3222. I am also an author. I've written a book called Spiritual Journeys with White Sky Cloud. And some people will ask me, what is your book all about? Well, it is about, it's actually the book itself is all through channeled writings. I did writings for about 6 years with spirit. And then I decided to put the book, to make it into a book, and it took about 6 months to put it together. And my wife and my daughter, I'm thanking them very much because for helping me edit the book. So I'm able to use this book as a healing tool for a lot of people. And a lot of them look forward to having this done. I worked with a lot of people actually who have gone through drug and alcohol recovery, as well as spiritual awakenings, and sometimes you deal with past life regression. That's what I've also done too, is past life regressions. And a lot of people have always asked about what they've done in their past lives, or who they were in their past lives. And so instead of me telling them who they once were in their past lives, I take them back in time. And it's almost like hypnosis. Like they get to, I teach them how to do the self-hypnosis. And so they actually are seeing themselves go back in time, and they find it very, very soothing. And it gives them a better understanding where their path is going in this life. Because a lot of people question the idea about past lives. So this is the reason why we do these past life regressions, and that's why we work with spirit in many different forms and different ways throughout our lives. And also I'd like to thank Victoria, who has offered me the opportunity to advertise my radio show off of her web page, as well as she's supporting me, and I thank her very much on her page. Also, anybody who wishes to listen in, if you have unable to find bbsradio.com, I'm under Pal Talk as well, and I'm listed under the Spiritual Awareness on BBS Radio Internet. We have many different varieties of different kinds of receivership through radio, and as well, I'm on satellites. I'm under the GS Radio, Global Star. So we have, and these people pick up off of BBS Radio. So we're going international. We're across the world, and there actually are, I'd like to thank and recognize a lot of people across the world who are listening in at this moment. I'd like to thank you very much for listening in. Anyone who wishes to call me from the Netherlands or anywhere else across that area, we'll look forward to hearing your call, calling in, asking questions as well. Now, if you are a first-time caller, just basically all you have to do is just say your name, who you are, and where you're from. And also, who are regular callers are more welcome to call in as well. And if I do have some of my friends that have listened in or are listening in, who I worked with throughout the years, I'm welcoming you guys. Come on in and give me a call. Let me just give you a few minutes to chat. Look forward to having a chat with you guys. Anyways, what I'd like to share with you too, the next step is to, in the book, I want to give you a bit of a story about how we understand life in general. And some people, when they come to me for readings, they want to figure, like, you know, when you lose a lot of loved ones, and I'm sure everyone has lost a loved one, we all have, and it's hard to accept the fact that they're gone, basically physically gone. But in spirit, they're always around us, all the time. And, you know, some people say, well, they're dead and gone. They're not dead and gone. The body has been passed, but the spirit is still very much around you. And what I've written in I did a small little quote inside my book, and it's called The Tragedies of Life. And I'll share this all with you, what this says. All of us need to learn to be strong in the mind as well as the body. And those who experience extreme suffering may have chosen this fate prior to birth in order to learn patience and courage. Life on earth is like a nursery school. No matter how wasted some lives may seem, there is always another chance to catch up. Now, a lot of people always ask that question, why me, why my child, why my family member, why they left us so soon, or, you know, whether they've dealt with an abuse of sorts, and they'll say that, you know, they had a wasted life. Well, it depends on the path that they've chosen, and if these people, you know, have decided to leave this world in different forms, whether it's through suicide, whether it's through other types of abuse, drug and alcohol abuse, or other types of versions of abuse, and sometimes we feel sad for them and bad for them, and, you know, where are they stuck, or they want to find out where all these results, and sometimes people always want to say, I've always wanted to say goodbye. I never had a chance to because I wasn't, for some reason, I didn't make it there. And some people have a hard time dealing with that. And I understand in their point of view, they do have a hard time dealing with that. So this way here, what I've always tried to do is to share with the public that there is different ways that we can actually give a better understanding about what life is really like. When God's given us free will, and we try to understand what death means to us. And so we always wonder why we're always afraid of death. And this is what it quotes under. through Christianity and other spiritual beliefs, we have been manipulated to fear death. Fear of entering the beckoning call of family, thinking that we have sinned and are not going to the God light. We expect others to pray for us. We create that fear of not being loved when it is our time to pass over, be not afraid, but have faith in God. For he will reach out to you with great love, no pain, just pure angelic love. With the words of the late Arthur Ford speaking from the other side, death is no more than the passage through a beckoning door. It is so brief, so transitory, as scarcely to be noted. For it is beyond the door that counts. The body heart stops not merely because the body mechanism will not function, but also because the soul has slipped off through the opening door. Some so gladly, some go reluctantly, but all in the answer to the universal urge for peace and tranquility. And for a time, the soul may slumber, particularly if there has been a shock or mental weakening. On this side, they let it sleep until it stirs and seems to feel need of its own accord for contact with those on this side. But sometimes the step across is so gentle as to seem like the wafting of a summer breeze. The pain ceases. The spirit departs back to the beauty of the peace, and peace like a dream that you have never dreamed of. There we go. So the thing is that this is what we understand what death is like. It's a simple passing. A lot of people always say the question, they always ask the question is, why? Why do we have to deal with the passing? Why do we have to be afraid of the death? Or has he suffered? And this is what we're trying to do, is understand that there's no suffering here. So what we try to do is let them know that no one really suffered in that time. I've had people ask me in different forms, too, that they would say, how did she feel when she passed over? How did he feel when he passed over? What did he see? What were his last thoughts, or what do you see? Sometimes we're able to see the passing if they want to show us. You know, it depends on spirit themselves. If they want to show us how this works, this is what they do. They try to give us an idea of how it works. And this is how we understand what life can be like. So anyways, anyone who wishes to call in, the toll-free number is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227 or 530-876-3222. Cool. Okay. We have, we're acknowledging our listeners. Listeners are listening in. Great. I got some people emailing me right now. They're clicking in. Yes, we got in. We're listening in. Great. Looking forward to talking to you guys. So, anyways, okay. Here we go. Okay. Now they're listening in. You're welcome, guys. So, now, reincarnation, people have always asked about reincarnation, too, and that's actually quite an interesting story, what our processes are. So, this is what I want to share with you. This is actually, again, that's out of my book. This is from Spirit. This is how they shared it with me. The process of reincarnation is like putting out a fresh shoot on a tree or a plant. Though humans may think of themselves as complete beings, only an aspect of each entity is actually manifested through the physical body and the brain. The rest of the entity is whole in spirit, but is linked and one with the human body. When an entity is born again, he or she will have different parents, a different body, a different brain, different background and ancestry. Everything will be different, but a part of that central tree will be infused into a new person, just as a tree or a plant puts out a new leaf. When the individual dies, he or she is reunited with the original whole as the infusion returns to its origin. The identical person does not keep shuttling back and forth to the earth in the same body. It's like being compared to an actor. He plays many parts, but always remains essentially the same inside, no matter how he may disguise himself outwardly. We just keep coming back to learn our lessons, and when one learns their physical lesson and completes it with success, one reaches to the next higher realm of spiritual ascension. So basically, in through reincarnation, we try to understand what our purpose is in life and what we dealt with in the past. I just finished working with a client just recently, just about an hour ago, where she was asking me what she was in her past life. I call her. Yes, hello.
Hello.
Hello, who am I speaking to?
My name is Ann.
And where are you from?
Well, I'm from Michigan. Right now, I'm up in Canada.
Ah.
In Ontario.
Yeah, from Ontario.
You're right, pardon me?
You're up in Ontario?
Yes.
What's happening in Ontario?
Well, I'm just chilling out here.
You're chilling out? You mean it's cold?
Just trying to relax.
Ontario, how's the weather there?
Incredible.
Warm?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Great.
Probably not too different from where you are.
Yeah, we're warm too.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty well balanced out.
Yeah.
They always call us, I'm in British Columbia, but they call us people down here, we call it Canadian Californians.
Yeah.
We don't get snow here. So.
Yeah.
We're
probably at the same latitude where you are. I'm up in the Bruce Peninsula right now.
Yeah.
If you're familiar with that.
Yeah. So what can I do for you?
Well, I'm a fairly new listener to the BBS radio station, but I find that it absolutely resonates with me, and I've been really seeking knowledge for many, many years, and have had experiences that have just made me want to continue this quest, and I guess I'm just looking for some answers. I've just had some, my whole life, I guess, unusual experiences, and I guess I'm trying to just figure out what to make of it.
Yeah. So basically, are you on a quest of your own that you want to learn something new all
yes.
the time? Like basically, wanting to go into the healing field yourself?
Pardon me?
You ever thought about wanting to go into the healing field yourself?
Yeah. I've been told that I have a lot of potential.
Yeah. When you look at your hand, and I want to share this with you, when you look at your hand, at the very bottom of the hand, near to the, say, for example, you look at your right hand and you look to the left, lower left side, before the ridge, or around the ridge of the hand, you'll see a line going straight across. Do you see that line?
It goes
parallel side to side on the left side of your hand. Lower part, it has a bit of a ridge, but the lower part straight across?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know that line right there? It goes side
yes.
to side?
Uh-huh.
That's the intuitive line. That tells you how quite intuitive you are. And it wraps itself into your hand. That shows you that that's the interest that you're in. That means that you ever decide to go into the psychic field, you can.
That really?
You can further your knowledge if you so desire. See, what I'm getting here from you, or for basically what Spirit's telling me, that you actually had dealt with an issue as a child growing up regarding spirits. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they've been coming to you quite a lot since you were a little girl. Now, whoever it was that told you not to pay attention to it, do you need to start to recognize the fact that they've been there before?
I think so. I agree.
Okay. You see, your parents, when you were young, your parents were afraid to see or talk about what you know. Because back then, those years, we weren't allowed to talk about that kind of stuff because they thought we were crazy or we're imagining things. So they used to say that we were imagining the idea of what it's all about.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So what you're learning now is what you learned from the past. Now, you have one particular lady who stands behind you, and she stands tall behind you. And I want to say... Like, even though I want to say mom, but I'm also saying grandmom. Like, I want to say your mom's mother is behind you all the time. because she plays a mother role, a motherly role behind you.
You don't think it could be my mother?
Was your mother passed?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. I'm seeing I'm going to see your mother, but I'm also seeing this woman quite tall. Like I see it, like she's right there across, right behind your shoulders. Now, when you are sitting, where you're sitting right now, I want you to put your hand on your right shoulder, and you will feel a warm feeling. That warm feeling is your mom's presence, because she will place her hand on your shoulder.
Okay.
Okay. But it's like a warm feeling. That's her presence right behind you. She stands behind you all the time.
My right shoulder?
On your right shoulder.
Okay.
On the left side is where your father's side of the family is. They're the ones where, so if you want to recognize who's in the room, you look to your right is your mother's side, you look to your left is your father's side. That's how they want to be recognized by who's in the room.
Okay.
Your mother is your guardian. She watches over you completely and lovingly. Now, I'm not sure this makes any sense, but there is a name that it's very unusual, but I'm being shown Star, S-T-A-R. Unless your mother had wanted to be a star or you want to be a star, but S-T-A-R was a significant word.
Okay, should it mean something to me?
Yes, did you act out as a little girl who wanted to be an actress when you were tiny?
Oh, yeah, I was a huge, huge fantasy, constantly in my own world.
Okay, you've always wanted to act out, wanted that you're singing, you're dancing, you're doing plays and the whole nine yards?
Oh, constantly.
Okay. That's S-T-A-R, star. Your mother tells me you've always wanted to be a star. Okay? That's how she finds it's most amusing in her life, in your life, because she found that she was basically saying that's where she enjoyed the fondness of memory of you. She always watched you, everything you did do.
Can I share something with you that has I've dwelled on it for probably about the last 30 years.
Sure.
And I'm curious what your opinion is, and I'll make it brief.
No problem. Go ahead.
When I was in my freshman year of college, I was walking back from the library with a girlfriend late at night, and in a kind of a woodsy area that was campus, but it was dark and woodsy, and I was about a step ahead of her, and we were talking, and suddenly she wasn't there anymore, and I turned around, and I was actually watching her in disbelief. It was a surreal kind of a thing, being dragged away by this stranger. And at first it was so surreal that I really didn't believe what I was seeing, and I was convinced that it really wasn't a stranger, and it was a friend playing a joke on us. And all this, I think, probably transpired in about, you know, 2 or 3 seconds, all my thoughts going through my head, and as denial dissipated and I realized what was happening, I felt the presence behind me. And I turned around, and there was stranger number two. And once again, all this was happening in just a matter of seconds. And the next thing I know, I didn't even have time to freak out over this. The next thing I know, I feel like, I don't know how to describe this scene. It was, I feel like the world just started spinning. And I heard this high, shrill sound, almost like a wild banshee. That's the best way I can describe it. I don't know if the sound was coming out of me. I don't know. It was, I just felt spinning. Like I was in a room that was spinning. And then the next thing I knew, this man who was behind me, who obviously was out to do me as much harm as this other man was about to do to my friend, the next thing I know, he was taking off running, like a bat out of hell. And like he'd seen a ghost.
Yeah.
And I turned to my friend, and who was once again being dragged into the bushes. He dropped her. He just literally dropped her out of his arms, and he took off running. Now, she had not been resisting whatsoever. She was like a rag doll. She just completely tuned out to whatever was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I ran over to her, and I was upset. She looked up at me like she had just come out of a coma and said, "What happened?" I couldn't believe she wasn't even aware. She didn't realize anything that had transpired. And I told her what happened, and she didn't believe me. In fact, she laughed at me. She thought that she fainted. Any insight or any comments on?
Yes, what you dealt with, my dear, was an abduction. That was actually extraterrestrial.
Really?
Yes. That was extraterrestrial.
Well, it was a tall person, but he looked human.
Yeah, well, they will take a form of human form, but that was definitely extraterrestrial. How I know, because I went through the same similar thing you went through. I went through it when I was 6 years old, and through the years I've been abducted many times, and I've actually have implants. And I've been doing a lot of research on this for years, and I've always made contact with extraterrestrials, the ones that I would trust. But there's others out there that are, they will take you, not away, but they do tests on you and then they bring you back. And that's why the other young lady was in this guy's arms. She just basically was like out cold, but yet she was in a trance, and because they know how to manipulate the mind. When you were basically talking about the shrieking sounds, that actually is what they would use. There's a certain vocal sound that comes from the extraterrestrial little machine they have on their body, and that certain sounds they use, their tones, that actually will it trances you. You have no control over it. Just basically you go into a numbness and you go into a state.
Well, I have to tell you right now, I sound calm, but I'm
Yeah, you felt calm because you know very well you weren't not going to be harmed. Because you just knew.
Well, it happened too quickly for me to really formulate any thought.
Definitely. Yeah, because the thing is that we don't understand why they come into our path. We don't, a lot of people don't understand why their extraterrestrial was here and why are they, like, I'll give you an example. The government itself keeps on making us think that we should be afraid of extraterrestrials. And so they make it into all these movies and say, well, they're evil, they're bad, and shoot them down. Then you got some people out there that say, no, they're really good people. So we're trying to figure out who's good and bad. If they really wanted us bad enough, off this planet, we wouldn't be here right now.
So right.
The only reason why they take us, because they're experimenting to find out if we can be bred. Basically, we become inbreeds, that we are creating a breeding service, whether it's male or female.
I read some information to the effect that that's actually already happening.
Yes. And it's been like that happened for many, many years, since the 40s.
Yeah,
even earlier.
Exactly.
People don't realize that. So basically, you went through a issue that helped you, you for 30 years, you're trying to figure out where this is going from, like, who would understand this?
Mm-hmm.
I would, because I've been around it. I've been around, that's why you're guided to say this to me, to ask that question, to ease the mind, to let you know how and why. So right now, what I understand, what Spirit's telling me, that you were abducted by extraterrestrials, they weren't there to hurt you, they were just letting you know that they know you know them. Because they have the ability to get into your head, and if you actually acknowledge them by some means, that's why your mom showed me that you are the star. Because if you decide to get into using your gifts more in this field. Practice it. Go to, like, we have places called the Spiritualist Church. Not Spirit Church, but a Spiritualist with an L-I-S-T.
Mm-hmm.
They're located in Ontario as well. I highly recommend these people. Like, I actually do church services once a month with my church. And when I go there, it's basically we give messages. Also, there's classes that people teach. Like, I teach at my home every Sunday here at 12 o'clock. So if anybody who actually lives in my area can come here and I can teach them here. But if they're just beginning their gifts, instead of me trying to teach them here, I'd rather have them go to the Spiritualist Church, because the Spiritualist Church can actually train them, like teach them baby steps to understand what it means. Then I go to what I'm doing, I teach people that actually already have those skills to increase their skills even better, to make them even stronger.
Are they in Ontario?
There's a Spiritualist Church in Ontario. There's one in London.
Mm-hmm.
There's quite a few. If you look on the internet, look under Spiritualist Churches London or Ontario,
mm-hmm.
there should be different locations.
Okay.
And I highly recommend them while you're living there.
Okay.
While you're staying there.
Let me ask you just quickly.
Yeah.
Why was there something about me, or was there something about somebody protecting me, someone protecting me, that sort of thwarted this abduction?
You were protected, very much so. Most likely, you have a guide that protects you strongly and makes sure these guys know they can't take you. And that's why. And you had a very powerful, and I will say, guardian angel, okay? A very powerful one that works with you. That's why I'm saying I really feel strongly that you should be taking classes. Because it doesn't take much for a medium or that's in a church and recognize your skill as who you are. And all that they will say to you is that you need to learn to open up yourself again so we can retrain you. But you're needed.
Yeah.
Okay, and you know that 30 years ago, but you kept putting it off thinking it's just your imagination because your parents told you that.
Well, I knew what happened was real. I had no doubt, because that's not the only thing that's happened to me. I've had, I don't know, for lack of a better word, incidents, unrelated, completely unique, but...
Sure. Well, tell me the story.
You want to hear it?
Sure.
Okay. Here goes. This was more recently. I'm going to say this was about 10 years ago, plus or minus. And my father was ill at the time. In fact, he was dying. And he was still at home, and I was going over there after my job to see him, take care of him, sometimes bring him meals. I was burning the candles at both ends, so to speak, and I was very tired, and I didn't leave his house until probably after 1 in the morning, and I was driving home way too tired and driving way too fast, and I was on this freeway, and there was nobody else on it. It was dark. It was a fairly new freeway and just built, and it wasn't even completed yet. I was probably going maybe 70, 75 miles an hour, and I got off at this up ramp to exit, and I didn't slow down enough, quick enough, and I actually lost control of my car. And I started doing these fishtails, actually, as I was driving up the up ramp to the service drive, completely out of control. And why I didn't go over the edge back onto the freeway, because it was below ground, is beyond me. I should have. Somehow, I get to the top of this ramp. I'm on the service drive, and it was between the service drive and to the left of me, where the freeway was below me, there was sort of a dirt patch. I ended up in this dirt patch And when the car stopped, and I felt like it happened, I felt like I wasn't even driving it. Next to me was another car, exactly parallel. We were completely even, parallel to each other. The front of our car was even, and we were probably just a few feet apart. And there was nobody else around anywhere, on the roads, anywhere. When I collected myself and realized what had just happened, and I looked over at this other car, and there was an individual in this car, just staring at me.
Okay.
And it completely freaked me out. I knew in my heart, I knew that person had something to do with me being alive.
Yes.
But I was afraid. I didn't have the courage to do anything about it, to try and make contact. I just was I wouldn't say scared to death, but I was unnerved. So I went home. I just started the car and drove home, thinking that's maybe not the strangest experience that happened to me, but maybe it was. But I was too tired, and I needed to integrate and analyze what had just happened to me. So I drove home, and the funny thing was, the next morning, I actually sort of forgot about it. And then I had to go to work, and I get in my car, and I realize I have two flat tires on the driver's side, which was the side that was more in the dirt where I ended up.
Mm-hmm.
So I called the towing company, and they came out. They had to take the tires off the car, and they actually dumped out. The tires were full of dirt, both tires, the front and the back. And they couldn't even figure out how I got home. They were just filled completely with dirt.
That's
and then
how
I started,
it works.
Pardon me?
Spirit moves things in mysterious ways.
Yeah. But it... I always knew that person in the car, just looking at me, not doing anything, and once again, at this point, it was probably, I'm going to say 1:30, maybe even close to 2 o'clock in the morning. I remember it was on a weeknight. And to just end up side by side, a few feet apart from this car, who was, they were actually in between me and the freeway below. And I just sort of took it as, once again, some sort of guardian angel or somebody who had just saved me, and they were making themselves known.
Well, that's the thing that we, I'll tell you a story that everyone's going to be totally floored in this one. I was out on a trip, and I had to do, I do psychic parties, and there was a lady that asked me to come down to Vancouver, and I did a psychic party, and I came into her house, and I worked with the families. And now this was actually a cold night in winter. We had a freezing weather that night. It was not no snow, but just freezing, so it was icy. And she had approximately 12 steps that you had to walk up these wooden stairs, and these are wide stairs. They're about 8 feet wide, but you couldn't get close to the railing. You know, it was just way it was, but it was 8 foot wide stairs and 12 steps. And she said to me, her first word said to me, but when I walked out, she said, "Be careful where you step." And I wasn't paying any attention. I had my briefcase in my hand, and the first step I slipped. I went straight up, and I felt someone pushing me way over down to the bottom. I landed straight on my feet, landed right square on my feet. I must have flown over at least a good 10 feet. Onto the ground. I didn't even touch the steps. And I was wearing cowboy boots. But I felt someone pushing me, like as if I was being flown ahead, pushed ahead, and landed straight on my feet, flat. Now, why did this lady say, "Be careful where you step"? And how come I felt someone grab me by the arms and land me on my feet? I should have been wiped out and hurt. The thing is that this is what happens. Angels are always behind us. If they don't want us hurt, they're protecting us. There's a reason for it.
But who's
because
hurting
Because you have
us?
Work to do.
Who's trying to hurt us?
Pardon?
Who was trying to hurt you?
No, it's not as much who's trying to hurt me, but what I'm saying is that I was being warned ahead of time. I had destiny. My destiny could have been I could have hurt my back on those stairs.
So it was.
But I didn't land on my back. I landed
on
my feet.
Okay.
Okay. See, yours is the same way. Your destiny was not supposed to be in the car accident and get physically hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
You survived it.
Okay, I got it.
Okay. I went through a major car accident when I was 18 years old. I rolled my truck. I shouldn't have survived it. Okay. I was pronounced dead. But when I woke up, I was alive. All I could see was my roof of my truck caved in. I don't know how I survived it. It was caved in. There's no way you can drive it. I'm looking up at my truck, and I'm thinking, when my dad gave it to me for my birthday, I'm looking at my truck and going like, my dad's going to kill me. You know, I got a truck, and all of a sudden I destroyed it. Why? I was driving down a gravel road, but it was new poured gravel. So I was going way too fast for new poured gravel. Being 18 years old, you think you're invincible. I went down the ditch and rolled that sucker good and nailed the telephone pole.
Why are some people fortunate in this regard to have an angel look out for them and others are not?
Because we all have a destiny. I'll tell you why. When I was 16 years old, I had an angel approach me and tell me it was my time to leave, that I can leave any time. And I was upset. I was totally ticked off. I mean, you know, you're 16 years old, and I'm standing ready to cry and go like, I love it here. Why do you want to take me away now? You know, I'm enjoying it. I want to see the year 2000. I was bound determined I wanted to see the year 2000. You know, you see Walter Cronkite on TV, and, you know, this is Walter Cronkite. Yeah, well, you want to see the future. Well, here I am. You know, I'm hoping, look, I want to see the future, see what the space life is all about. Yeah, right, we're still in space. But our homes never really changed after that many years. And this was actually in the 70s, early 70s. Our homes hardly changed that much. Our life has really hardly changed that much. But they thought we'd be so futuristic that we would have cars floating on the highways, you know, like hovercrafts, and flying all over the place with small planes.
Yeah.
Haven't. They've discovered it, but they haven't really done anything yet. But yet, you're thinking to yourself, you're bound, determined to live. You want to see everything. And I wanted to survive. I wanted to see this. And so Spirit said to me, go in peace. Those are the words. So I said, okay. And then after that, I had my accident, but yet I'm still here. Why? Because they said to me, because I asked that question, why? Why did you not take me? They said, because we have something we ask of you. For the life that you have chosen by not taking this life and letting go, we ask you in return to help others. So in return of your work, of what has happened to you, your work in return is be helping others as well.
I've always felt that that's the reason I'm here.
Yes.
So I've done it not in metaphysical ways, since I'm not competent to
do
that.
Well, the thing is that, I'll tell you, a lot of people, when you use the word metaphysical, all it really means is the word metaphysical means unknown.
Right.
Right? But we've taken the word metaphysical into a word that is almost stylish to Wiccan exploration, to Native exploration, to unknown New Age exploration. But the word metaphysical just means unknown.
Right.
Meta and physical. The physical unknown of the meta times. So it's just all to do with the past. We're trying to figure out how things move and to do research. That's all it really is research of time and research of our lives, the physical life. Still part considers the unknown. We're searching the unknown. So whether you're calling it healing, whether you're calling it my journey, whether you call it metaphysical, they used to go years ago in the books, they used to call them occult.
Right, right, yeah.
You know, I mean, a book itself, a novel, if you want to read something, say Arthur Ford or Edgar Cayce back in those years, they didn't call them novels.
Yeah.
They called them occult because they thought that was something that didn't, that was more like a something that's called unknown. So they called it occult. But yet, if you use that word occult now, they think it's witchcraft.
Yep, yep.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, but yet back in the 30s and 40s, and actually England was actually the first country that started that word occult, and all it really meant was unknown.
Yeah, yeah, it's a real dirty word now.
Yeah, so it's been a lot of the words in this in our lives have been abused that were given as a like I'll give you an example. Someone actually used the word necromancy. Necropancy or something like that, and that word actually means medium. And yet they don't use it. In other countries they do, but they don't use the word medium. In other countries they use necromancy.
What is that word again?
It's called necromancy.
Necromancy.
Letter N as in north. It's called necromancy. Necromancy means medium.
Well, necro is what? Death?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically it's certain words are used from the past that England would use, the United Kingdom would use, Scotland, Ireland, they use those words, but yet to us in this country, they think it's a dirty word.
Yeah.
Necromancy, they think it's something to do with satanic worshiping.
Yeah. Wasn't that religion's fault, trying to label...
Yeah. Sometimes people think necromancy is something to do with vampirism.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're sucking the soul out of you. But see, the words, I'll give you the word psychic, okay? As an example, the word psychic, it means soul. It's a Greek word. It means soul. So we have a new Bible that's been re-revised. And we have a new Bible that's out there, and they would actually make a statement in the Bible that said, beware of the psychic. That psychic is evil. In the Bible, written in there, beware of the psychic. And I thought to myself, well, here, wait a minute here. This Bible is supposed to be written in Hebrew. Why is the word psychic in there? That's Greek. What's Greek got to do with Hebrew? So what's happening is that person, whoever wrote that book or re-revised it, decided to put the word psychic in there because they're trying to tell the public the fear of this person, what they have, and what they have a belief system.
Yeah, they inject their own ideas.
And this is what happens to society. Mm-hmm. You know, they become so afraid. And what I've done, like that's what I'm trying to do, is trying to ease the idea that the word medium is a medium is someone who is between both worlds. That's why I call my show Between Two Worlds. Because a medium, you're actually communicating between both worlds, those who have passed over in life. So I become the messenger. And that's what your job is going to be. You'll be the messenger. You'll be giving people messages.
I know that. My whole life I've known that I have a calling to help. I think if there's one thing I've ever been sure of, that's it. And
Your father's passed, hasn't he?
Pardon me?
Your father has passed.
Both my parents have passed.
Yeah. I wouldn't put it past that if you decide to get into hospice work, you would help a lot of children step to the other side. Because your mom and dad would be there to help you with that, as well as your angel, because you have one angel that will be helping the kids step through, as well as the elderly that are also leaving this world. It does help a lot.
That's good to know. Yeah, it's...
It is. It does help a lot, because you'll understand better for yourself, knowing that... you would have a better understanding about, you know, what you want to do in life, where you're going to go from here. Yeah, we do have a 9-to-5 job. Some of them do. Some people have 9-to-5 jobs, and they'll do sidelines, whether they do psychic work or healing work, you know, even as a volunteer in say, whatever you want to do. Some people work with animals. You know, I'm also an animal communicator. I talk to dogs and cats, you know. I tell the client about their animals, what they're dealing with, and why they're dealing with these issues. I was able to find some animals that went missing for people a few years past. Told them where the animal was. They couldn't believe it, but it all ended up where it was supposed to be. But you're also being guided. It's your guides that tell you where you're going. You know, they're the ones giving you guidance. They don't tell you what to do, say, oh, you're going over there. They're just basically saying, do you want to go over there? We want to guide you there because there's a reason why you need to meet these people to help them through a journey that they need to deal with. So as we become older, we have a journey to take on. My job right now is having to keep to create radio programs to share information of others, people's experiences, what they went through. So I also have another radio show coming up on the 19th of July, another new radio show called Spiritual Journeys with White Sky Cloud, and that's about your journey, that what you dealt with. So basically what you're telling me is what I would share on radio with public as well.
Mm-hmm.
But this is about what you dealt with and understanding where your path is about, because a lot of people out there don't know what to do with it. A lot of them become very confused because they're always looking for other people's advice, and we do have friends out there that are afraid of what we're doing. You know, like when you're starting to get into something like this, some of your friends are looking at you going like, they look at you sideways going like, boy, is she weird. What happened to her?
Yeah. No, okay. This is something you definitely don't talk about with most people.
No, but see, don't forget, too, many years ago, back in the 60s, 70s, and further back, and even the 80s, too, but even further back, we didn't have that many teachers that actually could teach us our gifts or even tell us that we are gifted.
Yeah.
Because they weren't obligated to do that. But now there are so many people coming out of the blue, and they'll say to that person, you are gifted. You need to use these gifts. You need to do this. And there are people out there that are gifted, and there are people out there that are just not that great. You know, not that gifted. They want to be gifted.
Yeah.
They insist they want to be gifted, but they're just only 9-to-5 people. There may be interest in it, but doesn't mean they can't do it. That means we can get them involved in healing programs, and if they want to continue on meditating, learn other programs to become healers, they can. But
I mean, I'm assuming that once you make this commitment, it's you're committed.
It's a lifetime commitment.
Yeah.
It's a big responsibility, but you would never learn one thing, too. I've had people tell me, Derek, do you realize what you're getting yourself into? Because if you give someone advice, how do you know if you're right? And I have to trust my guides. They're the ones telling me what I got to say. And I said, I know I'm right because they're telling me what I got to say. But if someone says to me, are you positive? Are you sure? Yes, I am. But if they say to me, well, I really don't want to believe that. Well, then fine. Don't believe me. Get another person, go see another reader, see what they say. Get a second opinion. I encourage them to. I'm not the only guy out there. But
well,
I have
to tell you,
out there too, you also have intuition.
Mm-hmm.
You have an awakening. You just don't know what to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
the
I
way
rely
to do
on
it is approach the spiritualist church or other people who have the gifts.
What you were mentioning just a moment ago about there being very few people you could actually turn to, 70s and 80s, I found myself, because of that reason and because of where I lived, which was, Midwest.
Yeah.
I read a lot of Carlos Castaneda.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Carlos Castaneda was quite good. Yeah, he's interesting. His writings are quite interesting.
Yeah.
Well, my dear, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, it was. Thank you so very, very much. It was a real pleasure for me as well.
Okay. You take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that's quite the story. A lot of things out there do happen to many people in different ways. And, we try not to go against other people's belief systems, because the thing is that we all have a certain way that we understand what life is all about. And if we begin to judge other people about who they're, what they look like, and as far as their appearance is concerned, we need to look at our own selves in the mirror once in a while. And I'll tell you why. Because sometimes people out in this world have a hard time accepting the fact what a person should look like, because society tells you what you should wear and what you don't wear, what you look like and what you don't look like. And I've had people tell me that my hair is so long, I should get in fashion and get my hair cut. And then I have people turn around and tell me, your hair looks so cool. Well, I have a reason why I wear my hair long. And that's because I want to be a hippie looking. My father used to say to me, I look like a hippie. The reason why I have the length of my hair is because Spirit asked me to keep my hair long. I have helped two ladies in my lifetime to touch my hair. They walked up to me and asked if they can touch my hair. They touched my hair, and they said they felt electrical current come up into their hands. These two ladies actually were cancer recovering recipients. These actually ladies survived cancer, brain cancer. They lost their hair. And within a year apart, each one, like I said before, they touched my hair. And a year later, they came up to me after, and they said, "Thank you. You are such a wonderful healer. I got all my hair back." Because they tried for 2 or 3 years, their hair could not grow before. And it was God's love through my hair that helped them grow their hair back. It's not my just hair and say, "This is mine." It is healing hair. So it doesn't mean you can run after me and grab my hair and say, "Oh, I want to heal." It's just because people are meant to receive a healing. And sometimes it's unexpected. Okay? That's what they do. I got another caller. Someone wants to call in. Who am I talking to? Hello?
Oh, you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just saying we got to get Ken on. He just called.
Yeah, get him on.
Oh, no, he's the next host.
What?
He's the next host.
Oh, next host. Yeah, I've got 3 minutes.
Oh, no, we usually stop up at 55 minutes.
Oh, well, okay, I didn't know that.
Oh, really?
No,
oh. Then, gosh, I'm sorry. I did not know.
No.
That, oh, wow. Son of a gun, I didn't know. My mistake, then.
Okay, well, I'll go a quick closing.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry about that.
No problem. So anyways, everybody knows, I'd like to thank everyone for letting me be on radio this week, and I'd like to thank our caller that called in from Ontario, and all those who have been trying to get online, I apologize. It's been an absolute interesting weekend. And to let anyone out there in Slave Lake, I'm going to be coming down again in the late end of October, the month of October, and anybody who's in Victoria, British Columbia, I'm coming up in October, beginning of October. I'm going to be in Victoria first weekend of the month. The second week I'm going to be in Nanaimo. The third week I'm going to be in Campbell River doing lectures. So I've got three places I'll be heading out to, so I'm looking forward to having a chat with all you folks coming up quite soon. So put that on your calendar, and anyone who wishes to look me up about my website, it's whiteskycloud.com, WhiteSkyCloud, and my phone number to reach me if you want to call in for any full-time one-hour readings. I have PayPal on my website, and I charge $80 an hour, and if you want to get a hold of me, email me at whiteskycloud@yahoo.com. My phone number is 604-818-8375. Thank you, everyone. It's been a pleasure being here this Saturday, this beautiful day, nice hot day, and we'll talk to you next weekend. So I wish to say to you many blessings, and thank you for this wonderful time of Between Two Worlds with Eric White Sky Cloud, your friendly neighborhood psychic medium. Take care, guys. Bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.